If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 15, verse 20 through 23, and I'm not going to speak very long this morning. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a long way off, the father saw him and had compassion on him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. For let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost but is found. And they began to make merry. A preacher was standing in a prison chapel in Joliet, Illinois, when a request was made to him that next time that he came, that he would preach for the convicts. But just as he was leaving the building, the officer said to him, by the way, if you should come, do not preach on any part of the prodigal. We have had 24 ministers here by actual count, and every one of them gave us the prodigal son. And these poor fellows have had about as much of the prodigal as they can stand. It may be after a while that we ourselves have turned away from the truths of the scripture of the prodigal son. It has become so familiar with us that it has lost its charm. A man tells the story about traveling by train through the magnificent Rocky Mountains. He said, when we had plunged into the Royal Gorge and had later swung into the Grand Canyon, it seemed to me that the most awe-inspiring scenery no more could be found in any place in the world but right there. It occurred to me that I had never been so impressed before with the existence of Almighty God. I should have cried out unto him in the midst of the mountain's peak, O Lord, my God. But he said, I noticed that not everyone in the car was looking at the scenery with admiration. He said, there was a woman that was intently reading a book, and to my knowledge, he said, she did not lift up her eyes, not even once, from the printed page. When we had swung out into the great table lands, I overheard her say to a friend, this is my 13th time I have crossed the mountains. The first time I could not keep the tears from rolling down my cheeks. So impressed was I. But now, she said, I know it so well that I frequently go through the whole range without scarcely casting a look out the window. And this is how it is a lot of times with the people of God when we come to God's word. That which thrills the angels in glory and that which is the word of life, that it can become so casual and so unimportant to us. And sometimes when we come to church Sunday after Sunday and we hear the gospel message being preached, we listen to it and we don't listen. We hear it, but we don't really hear it. We don't allow God to speak to our heart and it loses its luster. But you remember the story, and I'm going to briefly share the story with you. The prodigal son came to his father and said, Father, I would like to have my inheritance. And so the father gave him his inheritance, and his eyes were on the far country. That's why he wanted his inheritance. And so he got his inheritance. He went to the far country, and we know the story, how that he spent it all in riotous living. Then we find him in the pig pen. In order to survive and to live, he went to the pig pen. But after a while, the Bible said he came to himself. You know, when you get down so low that there's no place else for you to go, you turn to the Lord. And he said, this will I do, and I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to my father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me just as a hired servant. Well, the Bible says that he started home, and when he was a great way off, and when we stop and think about the measurement here, a great way off. Now, this is God's way of looking at things. But you know, we also know that in Acts 2:39, it says that salvation goes to all that are afar off. And then in Ephesians 2:13, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to save everybody. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves everybody, doesn't he? He loves folks right here in Roland, Muldrow, Fort Smith area. He loves them in McPherson, Kansas. He loves them all around the world. And there's no sin that he will not forgive if we will ask him and if he leads us for repentance. Well, three things that God would have him to know and for us to know. There must be, first of all, a willing mind. If you be willing and obedient, you should eat the good of the Lord. Now, the scripture tells us that a man has to do the will of God, and we find out the will of God by studying his word, don't we? We find out what God expects and wants of us. You see, there must be a desire to know the truth and to do it. Mere knowledge of the truth may be our condemnation. How sad that so many know exactly what they need to do, but they don't do it. How sad that people know the word of God and know what God expects, but will not abide by the truths of the scripture. It will be an awful judgment that will fall upon men and women who have lived under the shadow of the church. They have heard the gospel messages time and time again, and they have rejected Christ. I find it real difficult for me to comprehend how somebody can come and know that it doesn't cost money. It's not costing you a dime, without money and without price. It's what the Bible says, that we can come to the Lord and have all of our sins forgiven. You don't have to do anything other than just admit you're guilty. You're a sinner in the sight of God. And when you admit that I'm a sinner in the sight of God and you have a broken heart because of that sin, and you'll walk down the aisle and kneel at the altar and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And I don't understand how anyone can hear the word of God and not be willing to obey and to do what God asked them to do. And then the scripture reminds us of the fact that there must be not only that desire to know him, but there must be an honest confession of him. God never gives to a person more light, but he wants them to use the light that they've got in order that they might be led to him. I'm here to tell you this morning that God, his word is alive, and he opens it to us as we're able to discern it and apply it to our own hearts and life. And so when we're willing to come and there's that desire within us, we'll find that God is present. You see, I'm convinced that if we'll take one step to God, He'll take a step towards us, and we're two steps closer together. And if the man that is lost, will take three or four or five steps, so will God. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Well, D.L. Moody said that the prodigal father was looking through the telescope of love, and what a comfort to know that he who loves us is mindful of where we are and what we're going through. You see, he beheld when we were here in a service and maybe the invitation was being extended. He saw what we were going through. You see, he understood the thoughts of our heart. And I know sometimes folks are in the valley of decision and they grab hold to the pew and they think, Lord, I need to come and I know that you're calling me to come. But they don't come. They don't respond. God saw you and he was ready to do his part if you would only respond and come to him. And then he had compassion and he ran. Compassion means or indicates one suffering with another. I can see the father gazing off on the horizon. And maybe one day he sees a little puff of smoke or cloud of dust. And his eyes began to look. And he noticed the walk. And it was a familiar walk. And he got close and he recognized that, yes, it was his son. Oh, he was in tattered clothes. He was coming home. He was weary. And the father ran out and grabbed hold of him and hugged him. You know what? He must have smelt like the hogs. When I look and I think about this young man, the father did not try to straighten him up and get him smelling better before he threw his arms around him. God loves us in spite of our sins. And he'll forgive you of all your sins. All of that tattered, smelly way of life that you had, he'll forgive all of that and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible said he kissed him. I bet he stunk to high heaven. But the father kissed him. But you know, if you love like God loves, that's not hard to do. He kissed him. He did not wait till he changed his garments. The Lord kissed him, and this simply meant that God was ready to reconcile him completely. He put a robe on him. He told his servant, get the best robe that we've got in the house. You know what that robe signifies? When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come as guilty sinners. But when we confess him as our Savior, we have an imputed righteousness. He puts his robe around us to where that God the Father sees us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He put a ring on his finger, the emblem of completeness. The Father, his love was perfect. His love was perfect. And he just forgave him. You know, sometimes we think, well, I do so many bad things, God can't forgive me. Yes, he can. And yes, he wants to. He wants to forgive us of all of our sins. He wants to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He wants us to walk with him on a daily basis. He put shoes on his feet. I believe he was walking. He was barefooted. His feet were bleeding. They were swollen. I mean, he was in a mess. But when the father saw him, he said, put shoes on his feet. And we're shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And they kill for him the fatted calf. Come in and rejoice with me. For this my son that was lost is found. Let's make merry. Listen, the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner gets saved. When a sinner gets saved. Let me close with this illustration. During the, or right at the lake region of Wisconsin, in a town with a strange name, Oconomowoc, this preacher had been preaching there, and he had finished his ministry there, and he went on to another place. But he said, I came back to visit one day, and I came in on the train. And when he did, he saw a man that he knew by the name of James Stewart. Knowing him from the past, he asked him why he was there. The old man replied that his boy had gone away from home, saying, Father, I will return someday, but I cannot tell you when. Mr. Stewart said simply, I'm waiting for him to come back. Strange as it may seem, I'm waiting for him to come. Well, he went back and left. And 13 years later, he came back. And the first man he saw was that man looking at the train. He was waiting for his son, and the preacher thought, surely the son has died. It's been so long. But there was a young man he saw walking down the aisle of the train. And he thought, if this young man is not dead, this surely must be his son. Well, the father's eyes saw that son. And the father began to run to that train car. And he jumped up on the steps. And when that young man came out, he grabbed him and hugged him and squeezed him up tight. He said, I knew it would come. But he said, if it took it, I would stay here until I died for my son to come home. That's what the Lord is wanting. He said, I loved the world so much that I gave my son to die upon the cross of Calvary that everybody could be saved. He said, I'm coming back. And one of these days we're going to look up and see him. And he's going to call us home. And all of these struggles and trials and difficulties and death and all of that will be gone. We'll stand with him and worship and serve him all the days of our life in heaven. And we'll have new bodies. Amen. If you're not ready to meet him, he invites you, come. Come unto me. Let's pray.